Okay, turn it down. Welcome to the premiere edition of the Wobcast. I'm the host, Mike Wobshaw, or I'll try to be the host until they fire me, and then they'll have to hire someone else and rename the whole podcast project, and that's too difficult. So, welcome to Wobcast, a 10 to 12 minute podcast where we talk all things Vikings. Each week, we'll feature a rock star or a Vikings relevant guest because I'm assuming you don't want to listen to me for 12 straight minutes, and the guest might be much more interesting. So, the premiere edition of Wobcast, we're going to talk about what you, the fans, enjoy talking about more than any other thing after the season ends and before the next one begins, and that is the NFL draft. Clearly one of the most exciting times of the offseason and one of the busiest times on the website. So, a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're way in front of the draft, a long way to go, but it's never too early to talk draft. And to do that, we're going to rely on the first ever guest of the Wobcast, and that is radio voice of the Vikings radio network, Paul Allen. PA has been the radio voice of the Vikings for over a decade. He's a good authority on all things Vikings, and he's been a great friend of Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network and to me personally. So we're very pleased to have PA join us.
Thank you. And I want to thank Brian Harper and Mike Harris and Jay Nelson and Jordan Strzok and a lot of people around here, including yourself, who give me an opportunity to do a lot of things outside of calling the games and doing the radio show, like the Vikings Derby. Unfortunately, we lost 13 derbies this year and we won three. But, you know, I really enjoy coming in here on Mondays and looking at the film, and then we cut it on Tuesdays. And there are just so many people behind the scenes at Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network who put in so much work for fans to be able to take in the Wobcast, watch the Vikings Derby, the keys to the game, Vikings Game Plan, our TV show, and they don't get recognized enough. So I want to take time to recognize all of those people, and thank you for all the opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you, PA. Let's get down to business. Now, I have an ideal scenario for the Vikings in the draft, mm-hmm. and I'll go over it as you and I go on here. But first, before we get into that, the man who's going to be pulling the strings for the Vikings in the draft is Rick Spielman, who was just promoted to be named the team's general manager. What were your thoughts on that?
I'm very happy. I mean, I've known Rick rather intimately the last several years, and he started in 07. And, you know, the working in the radio business and dealing with public opinion on a daily basis, you know, I can understand those who say, why would you promote from within a 3-13 season? I can hear that. But unless you're within these walls and you know how it worked under Childress and you know how it worked last year, you don't really understand what people like Rick, Scott Studwell, and George Payton do.
Right.
And you just look at, well, I look at this pick and it didn't work out exactly the way it was supposed to, and I know this was rookie of the year, and I think it's unfair to judge people that way. In fact, if I were judging people that way and you really want to add up all the picks, how can you possibly take rookies of the year and trades for Jared Allen and make those the same pick total as like Jamar Johnson?
Right.
You can't do it that way. If you're going to go on a scale of 1 to 5, those three get sevens and then some others get ones and twos. Yeah. So you add it up that way. So I'm elated that the Vikings, A, hired a singular voice or elevated a singular voice to make a lot of the tough decisions. But secondly, I don't want people via the Wobcast at Vikings.com to forget, in Rick's first year, we were a game away from going to the playoffs, and we couldn't handle Washington on a Sunday night. And then the next year we won the division, and the year after that we won the division, killed Dallas, and almost went to the Super Bowl. Okay, there's a pay the piper time when you have a window of opportunity.
Right.
We're in that time right now. It'll get better. He'll make it better with the assistance of Leslie Frazier. And I'm super excited that Rick got that opportunity.
Yeah, and I am too. And I think the Vikings, the way I see it, and my opinion subject to change, obviously, as we get closer. But right now, the ideal scenario for the Vikings, they pick third. Cleveland right behind us at 4. I think they want a new quarterback. Washington Redskins, 3 behind us at pick 6. Or 2, however you look at it. I think they want a quarterback. So we leverage Robert Griffin III, who will still be on the board, with Cleveland and Washington. We turn that into a trade. Ultimately, I think it's Cleveland. We trade back 1. Cleveland takes Robert Griffin III. We take Matt Khalil, the left tackle from USC. For trading back, we get that extra pick later in the first round that Cleveland has, and I think we go get a wide receiver. Do you think that's plausible?
I like the way you're looking at it. As I say on the radio show at The Fan, far too early in the process for me to lock in on anything.
Yeah.
I like the philosophy, and I talk frequently about the philosophy. Again, I trust Rick Spielman, Scott Studwell, and George Payton. the three main people to make the biggest decisions around here personnel-wise. So I want us to amass more picks and fortify the depth of this team. I like the way you're looking at it. I don't want to go back so far in a trade-down scenario that you miss out on a left tackle. I think there are three left tackles who really will make a difference beginning next year. And they're the guy you mentioned from USC, Jonathan Martin from Stanford, who recently said he was coming into the draft, and Riley Reiff from Iowa. I think ending up with one of those three would be wise, and amassing picks along the way would be great. But you know what? I want to see the Senior Bowl practice week. I want to call people locally and nationally. I want to see the combine where I think I'll be. And then I want to walk up to the draft and really appreciate every minute and not get locked into an opinion right now.
If Rick Spielman and George Payton came down here right now, they said, PA, give us a wish list in free agency of two or three guys that you'd like us to go after. Do you have a list, and what names would be on it?
Well, I'd like to give Vincent Jackson, the wide receiver from San Diego. He might go first. He's 30, so you got to be careful with that. He had a game at Soldier Field last year that personally I thought was embarrassing. It lacked effort, and I think he got called out for it too. And he took it seriously because after that he was unstoppable.
Yeah.
I like him. I think the Vikings may have tried to trade for him in the past, so I think they like him. He's right at the top. Cornerback Cortland Finnegan from the Tennessee Titans. I'm a fan of his. Now, he's a wild hair, and he'll talk trash, and he'll get right up in your face, and he'll fight Andre Johnson. And he also has been in the league quite some time, too. Very scrappy. We'll upgrade our secondary in a minute. And again, being a month and change from free agency, I have a right to change these opinions via the Wobcast. I like Pierre Garçon from the Indianapolis Colts. And
sure,
he proved this year in certain spots that he's not just a system guy. You can line him up outside the numbers. We have, I think, the best slot receiver in the NFL. I would take Percy Harvin over Wes Welker right now, because I would be looking at how many more years they have to play.
Mm-hmm.
Wes is phenomenal, and he's number one, but Percy's right there with him. But we need speed outside of the numbers, and if you're going to get a Finnegan or a Jackson, then you're going to run out of money. You got to find the money in the first place. But I like Cortland Finnegan, and I like Vincent Jackson, and I like Pierre Garçon as a sleeper.
All right, thanks, Paul. You know, radio voice of the Vikings, you've been calling games for a decade. You look back at all the seasons and all the big games, the people you've met, the players. What are some of your favorite memories? Or whenever the day comes that you're done, what will you look back fondly at and really remember?
Excellent question. The 2009 season is the greatest professional experience I've ever had in my life doing any of the jobs that I do. And, you know, the way it finished was a little sluggishly from Carolina through Soldier Field and stuff like that. But the way the team steamrolled Dallas, and then we go to New Orleans and we run up 500 yards and change. Adrian fumbles three times, but he still puts up a buck and change and three TDs. And the emotional experience that was the end of that game, the final 2 minutes in the overtime, is personally, outside of the birth of my children, it's something I will never forget as long as I live.
Yeah, and you know, it's the 3-13s, the 6-10s that make the 12-4 playoff seasons feel so good. And and right now we're in the 3-13 area. I think we're going to be going back towards the playoff area, and it's going to be a fun ride with you along. Thanks for being on the first Wobcast.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. One last thing before we go, I kind of want to talk about the off season here and beyond just the NFL draft. And you know, one thing I'm really looking forward to here over the next few months is having a normal offseason. The labor issue, the lockout, basically eliminated the offseason for NFL teams, and every team had to go over that hurdle, had to overcome that hurdle, so the Vikings are not unique in having that challenge. But with a new, relatively new head coach, with a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator, new offensive system, I think it hurt the Vikings throughout much of the season. This offseason, Jeff Davidson, who's a great offensive line coach, won Super Bowls with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, played in the NFL. He's going to have a normal offseason with OTAs and with mini camps and with meetings and the offseason program to work with our offensive linemen. Look at what he did with John Sullivan last year. One of the best centers in the NFC North, if not the best center in the NFC North, gets a contract extension. Kyle Rudolph, he's going to be more ingrained in the offense because of this offseason. He wasn't with his teammates last offseason because of the lockout. And you know how much the offseason is going to mean to Christian Ponder when he can be here every day working with Bill Musgrave and quarterbacks coach Craig Johnson. So, you know, that's really one thing for Vikings fans, for all NFL fans, but especially for the Vikings. I think that's a key key part to turning this team around is having a normal offseason. We're going to have OTAs, the offseason program. We're going to have meetings. We're going to have mini camps. That's really going to help the development of this offense. I'm really looking forward to watching Rick Spielman and Leslie Frazier work together, mold this roster, start coming together with the entire team at OTAs and the mini camps, and see if we can build up and have a good preseason, good training camp, and have a better 2012 season than we had 2011. Make sure you join us next week. I think we're going to have NFL Network analyst and Vikings preseason television analyst Mike Mayock, and that means we're going to talk more draft. Mike is the NFL's premier draft analyst. He's going to join us on the Wobcast next week, tell us a little bit about some of the top players who are entering the NFL draft in April. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, we'll leave you with Hall & Oates, or if you know them like we do, PA's favorite band, Daryl and John, with an old cut from an old album. Take it away. What I want.